latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Bratton. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And if only we could get our guests' attention, Chris Barler, Vern Dunnequist, or something like that, Locked On Gamecocks, Baton Rouge, Louisiana Sports Net, Bama Superfan, anything else?
No, that's it.
What's up, buddy? I mean, what's it like to be in the room, Brian Kelly yelling at somebody, but he's not yelling at you?
It was hysterical. I felt bad for Mike Cobble. That was because he didn't deserve that necessarily, but it was so funny. He was just asking a question I think that was pretty fair that a lot of people probably wanted to know. Because the offense has not been great, statistically especially. It's not been great. Maybe I should just go no hat. It's just too dark. That's better, huh? Anyway.
But you get five picks, you win by 10. Is that an issue for LSU?
So it's hard to look at that and think that's not an issue. But he continues to say, and we just left the press conference then, or like for Monday, and his main thing was like, we wanted to win the game. Like there are concerns, I think. I also think this. I think Florida's got a good defense. I think Clemson's got a good defense. It's mm-hmm. the fact that both those two schools got off to a 1-2 start when a lot of us thought, like Clemson for me, not Florida, thought they were going to be a lot better than they are. So I think that part is frustrating. I mean, it's obviously frustrating to fans because I think what's most frustrating about this, Mike, is this. We hate feeling like we're wrong. Like we go into the season, it's like, oh yeah, of course they're going to be really good on offense. They have all these receivers. They got all this stuff in the portal. Like, but you know, it's going to struggle. The offensive line is going to struggle pretty badly. The defense, like, are they going to be able to take a bigger step forward in year two under Blake Baker? Like, I guarantee if you asked any LSU fan, like, and Kelly brought this up in the press conference today, this was the exact opposite of what happened last year. Last year they ran 93 offensive plays and were awful. Like, I mean, they were awful the entire game offensively. They didn't score any points. And so if you would have asked an LSU fan, like, hey, you're going to be really good special teams-wise. You might have one of the top 10 defenses in the country. But the offense is going to struggle a little bit at first. You're still going to be undefeated with the schedule you have in front of you to start the season. Like, would you take that? Of course they would have taken it. So I think the best news for LSU is that they are the thing that we all think we know the most, which is the offense is going to be good. There's still time for that to be corrected, you know?
Right. Well, just the way he's been acting, Chris, I feel like we're all missing out on what his reactions would be if they were 1-2 instead of 3-0, because it could have been priceless. You know what?
Dropping the Nussmeier injury, like, it was not a big deal today. It was like, oh yeah, you know, he had a torso injury. You're like, okay. When did that happen? And he was like, fall camp.
Like, will they play him? I assume they would, but does he play into the second? I mean, how much does he play, you think, against Southeast Louisiana?
Well, I wanted to ask that question, but I was not going to because I'm still scared of him. I think he'll play. I don't think he needs to. I think you get him in, get him on a couple of things on script, and I think you force a couple of things, like give him 10 to 12 throws and have him play only the first half no matter what, but force some stuff to Chris Hilton, force some stuff to some of those receivers, Nick Anderson maybe, anybody that's not Aaron Anderson. Like, get other people involved, Barry and Brown again, and try to work on some of those things so you can at least have it on tape for other teams.
All right, Chris, let's take a quick break here. I want to honor our best, most favorite, most loyal cousin. Cousin JR's gifted 5 memberships.
Legend. Hell yeah, bro. Cousin JR has done it again.
Thank you, JR. You'll like these names, Chris, that he's donated to. Choketown, that's Chris's nickname. Eric Crawley, Matt Layton, Kyle Pruitt, brother of Jeremy, and Carrico family, you've all been gifted. Welcome to the family, courtesy.
Welcome to the family.
JR. Welcome JR. To the family.
So JR is a huge dog. That's why he gives 5, I think, because he's still rubbing it in that Georgia rules the damn world and whipped the shit out of Tennessee. Not really, but I mean, won the game. That's all that matters. You know, is Georgia the best team in the SEC?
You know, here's the thing, Mike. Just imagine how good. Get me on camera here. I want them dogs to hear this real quick. Imagine how much they would have won this game, though, if Mike Bobo wasn't calling plays.
Be honest. I don't know how much you saw this live or anything, but you were probably rooting for both teams to lose, right? Because you hate both these Georgia and Tennessee. Look at him smile. He wanted them both to lose. So, I mean, he wins either way.
I want you to clip this for once. I don't hate either program. I really don't. Love Heupel. I really love what Kirby's built. It's been really fun to watch. It's been incredible to see that, like, that transition, right? And we live in 2025. A lot of transitions happening. And what Kirby's done to that program has been awesome. I think the same thing with Heupel. Think about where that offense was and that team was and that program was before he got there. And, like, yes, it's frustrating to continue to lose here. But he got the monkey off the back against Alabama. He's beaten him twice in the last 3 years. I think it's only a matter of time he was able to do this against Georgia. I mean, listen, what he did on Saturday was really, really impressive. There's some things that he could have done better, and this team could have done better to win. I don't hate either team. Nope, put me back on camera.
Okay, I'm praising old Gunner. He did a hell of a job.
He did. I don't hate either team. I hate most of the fan base from each school.
Oh, gotcha.
That's all.
Which that includes me, fair. Right?
No, I love you. Tennessee, okay. Like, Tennessee fans will go out of their way to be like, we're the worst people on the internet. And then you say something, you're like, hey, you guys are pretty mean. They're like, fuck you, dude. We're not mean. You're like, you just said you were. You said it was like a badge of honor. Okay, back to the game. Gunner Stockton can throw the ball forward, which is cool. Not a lot of people thought he was going to be able to do that. I was really impressed with both quarterbacks. I thought he was great. Mike, that fourth and sixth throw, man.
Yeah.
Sixth throw. I
called it on the live stream. I said, touchdown right here, Gunner.
Well, white guy. I mean, what? That was insane. Can I call plays? I thought this was a great team. Like, I also think that, like, I woke up Sunday and I saw Tennessee was still 15th. And I was like, what the fuck? How did they not move up? And I realized that I was part of the AP poll problem, maybe, because I was like, I thought they won the game almost. Like, that's how well they played. And I think Tennessee fans really have nothing to hang their hat on. You tell me where the losses are coming. I'm not convinced that there's another one on there if they play like they did on Saturday. Now, I'm not saying they're going to go 11-1, but they have done a really good job getting ahead of where people thought they were going to be.
Right.
After Nico left, especially. And I think it's really great to see. And here's the scariest part for everyone else. I'm not trying to be so super Tennessee and not talk about Georgia here, because Georgia deserves a ton of credit in that game. The scariest part about Tennessee for everyone else is they're not even close to being healthy. Like, they're not even close to being healthy. And when they get there, it's going to be way worse, I think, for a lot of other teams around the league.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what this is, folks. This is Chris not wanting to talk about them dogs, because they got Bama coming up here. So Bama's turning around. I'll ask you about them in a minute, but let's go back. So, again, takeaway from this massive game of the year, best game to date, I think. And I mean, A&M, we'll talk about them. Maybe you could debate that, but I still think this was a little bit of better game this weekend. More impressed with Georgia or Tennessee? It sounds like you're more impressed with Tennessee, even though they lost.
It wouldn't be an argument I was trying to make, Mike, that either, so don't put that on me, that I think either one was more impressive. I think the takeaway that I think everyone needs to have, stop, we're allowed to cuss on here, stop fucking doubting Kirby Smart until it's time not to. Until every year we do this, and like, you see it all over the internet, and it's like, oh man, I don't know, man. They don't throw the ball well. They barely beat so-and-so. There's not a fucking person outside of Athens that watched Austin Peay in Georgia, and all of us wanted to have some fucking opinion on it. They were like, no, man, 28-6 against Austin Peay? Cause for concern. Joel Klatt was talking about it. There's no fucking way Joel Klatt was watching Austin Peay in Georgia. And it's like that entire idea that, oh, man, like, the defense isn't as good. Now, that there may be some truth to after what Tennessee did dicing them up. But I think the idea that Kirby and this team were not as good as we thought because of their early season like woes or flaws offensively. If there's one thing that I think Kirby's done a better job than anyone else in the country at, besides cutting his own hair, is his ability to see the big picture in things. You saw it in 2021, you saw it in 2022. His ability to see the big picture in things, where it's like, we're not going to unveil the entire playbook. We're going to try to be as limited as possible until it's time late in the year to start showing new wrinkles. And that's what they did, I think, in the first 2 weeks. And then you saw it the very first play from scrimmage against Tennessee. It was a 39-yard game. So there you go.
Right. Yeah, you said a lot there. Let me ask you this, because this is kind of my takeaway from this game. This is two programs, one championship expectations. They've been there. They expect to win. Mm-hmm. Whereas Tennessee, they're hoping to get there. I think they're very, very close, but they're not. They're not there. You know what I mean? Like, this is a team that, even though Georgia got down big on the road, they had belief they were going to win. Meanwhile, I think Tennessee, I think they're, again, they're very close to shedding this, but I think there's still doubt there. Does that make sense? Like one just expects to win and they come up clutch, and the other one, man, once a fourth and six goes wrong against you, you're like, oh shit. And then a 2-point conversion, oh shit. And then a
false start.
Right. So, I mean, it's just like one thing after another. It's almost like they've, until they do it, there's going to be a shred of doubt there. And I don't think there's any shred of doubt within that Georgia program and locker room.
Well, I think here's the deal too, Mike. Statistically speaking, just looking at the track records here, if you're a Tennessee fan, you only have seven more years of this, of losing, and then they'll finally win one and they'll carry the goalposts. That's what they did against Bama, so I'm sure it'll be the same thing against Georgia. I think that Tennessee, there are so many positives that came from this, and it sucks that they did not win that game if you're a Tennessee fan. And it did feel late in the game, especially. It felt like they just kind of got puckered up a little bit and didn't know how to put that one away, which is odd because, think about this. Remember the end of the Tennessee-Bama game in 2022? I mean, granted, you kind of had less time, I think, maybe on the clock. Mm-hmm. But, like, you completed two passes for 39 yards, got yourself in field goal range immediately. But your bread and butter was, like, all right, drop Hendon Hooker back, see if you can find Jalen Hyatt. He's been open all day. And see if we can go get down the field. And they did that. They got very conservative, it felt like, with some of the play calling in that final drive. And I don't know if they really needed to.
Yeah, no, I think that's completely fair. Hey, we've gone a long way here, Chris. We haven't talked about this. I would argue, I know Georgia, that was massive game of the year, but I think the biggest win of the weekend in the Southeastern Conference belongs to Texas A&M, for Mike Elko, for this program to kind of, again, now they haven't shed the 8-4 label yet, but they took a massive, massive step to where it's hard for, if they keep playing the way they're playing, it's very difficult for me to see them not winning at least 9. I think they're going to win 10 and make the college football playoff. What's your thoughts on A&M going on the road and beating Notre Dame, who you despise and say shouldn't even be ranked?
They're the best 0-2 team in the history of the world. I have so many feelings on Notre Dame. The fact that they're being celebrated for almost wins is fucking, like, does anyone else see the hypocrisy? Is it like just us in the South where we're like, oh, hold on, you told us a year ago that close wins or close losses didn't matter, now, or quality losses didn't matter, now you're telling me that they're like the main reason? Somebody that I was in a fucking meeting with today had him ranked 10th. Doki Riley had him 10th. Like,
whoa, where's he got A&M?
that's tough to do. Yeah. A&M I thought was really impressive. Marcel Reed struggled this game. But I think this is one of those things now where you're starting to see. I think it's kind of cool, something we're starting to see with the what do you call it, the transfer portal income, $49.99. If you don't fucking split that with me, Mike, in this day and age of football, like in the past, it's like, oh yeah, so the Jimmys and Joes more than the X's and O's, and like you having the best players is what would usually warrant you getting to a national title game, like Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Ohio State, like those teams, like they did that very, very, very well. It's kind of cool now to see, like, there's a little bit more that goes into it in terms of you have to have some, like, actual business savvy or roster management, and retention's important too. But most importantly, like, you have to, like, see, identify, and then develop talent in the portal. Mm-hmm. And you cannot just go sign a bunch of five-stars and hope they all hit, because, like, what Mario Craver's doing, Casey Concepcion, like what they the additions they made in the portal, they were able to go on the road and get the first ranked win against on the road since 2014. Like, what a huge win for Texas A&M. And Marcel Reed struggled, and I don't think he's going to struggle that much throughout the season. I think that was not a one-off, but, like, I don't think he'll be under 50% again in any game this season. So really, really impressive. Love Tyler Buchner, the deep state former Bama quarterback, going up the South Bend, weaseling his way back onto that roster and costing them a chance of making the playoff, and it's only week 3 for them.
Be honest, you miss that guy.
When he started running with the ball to throw it, I was like, this motherfucker, the amount of confidence you have for him to ever attempt to throw that ball. And I tell you what, Mike, if he would have completed it, I would have jumped off the roof that I was on.
Well, hey, we're getting a lot of love. So let's talk Arkansas Ole Miss real quick from Josh Weaver. Appreciate you $5. Woo damn peak, baby. Everybody's.
I thought it was $50.
Boy, no. Hold on. Don't jump. You got a long way to go to learn this podcasting game, brother. Everyone's overreacting to a top 20 road loss. We're good, and we'll be in every game all year. Say Taylen Green's name. Shout out Tambi, $50. Beautiful seeing both Ole Miss and Arkansas players and fans surround and pray for the young man that was hurt. Arkansas has some of the classiest fans. Love that SEC podcast. And go, Rebs! And shout out to Walker. I hear he's going to be good. So I hope I don't have that wrong. But I heard that was precautionary. So shout out. Hopefully he's doing better. Man, what a game this was, though. I mean, well, not if you like defense, but back and forth, Chris. I mean, it was neither team could get a stop. And then guess what? Ole Miss got a stop, and it won them the dang game because they forced the only turnover of the matchup. Arkansas fans that I saw, they were over it. They're like, fire Pittman, this sucks. I mean, hell, you went on the road and I think you could have stole one there at the very end. If not for that turnover, I think you win this game. Shoulda, coulda, woulda, I get it. But I don't think this is a reason to turn on Pittman here. And then, I like to give him a hard time, Chris, because I like to call him Lane Whiffen because he completely whiffed on last year. But I think we're going to look back in years' time and be like, man, we had the next, you know, Spurrier, the next maybe Urban Meyer minus allegations, you know, just a fun whack, Les Miles, wacky coach. That's Lane Kiffin, of course, I'm talking about. He don't give a damn about the injury report. He could just throw out a backup quarterback and go for, what, 350 yards and just, three touchdowns, 350 yards, win you a big game. Lane Kiffin's an animal, and I half hate him, I half love him. What was your thoughts on Ole Miss beating Arkansas?
So this, I said this for the game. I don't know where to put Arkansas. Like, if you're power ranking the SEC, like, I don't. We're gonna talk about this in a second.
Are you beefing? You're beefing.
I'm so glad somebody asked this question. I don't think so.
That's a yes.
I'm not. I do know that he doesn't like most of my takes on Ole Miss, but I ranked Austin Simmons as the 15th best quarterback in the SEC based off of what's happened on the field in the first two games, and he's there. He leads the SEC in interceptions. Like, what is it now? Because of DJ Lagway. But I think
you were right about him too. All right, but
we'll get was. That. Arkansas is. It's hard for me to figure out where they should be ranked. I think they're a really good team, man. Like I will always pull for Arkansas when Sam Pittman is the coach because I really want them to be good. I think that they're going to beat Notre Dame in a couple weeks because of what I saw. Like, Taylen Green's better than Marcel Reed at quarterback. Like, I think Taylen Green still to me right now is the best quarterback in the SEC. Regardless of what happened against Ole Miss. No, he didn't have his – I think he had his first – or he had a second turnover of the season. It's got to feel very frustrating to be so close to getting over the hump, like for the hump that's in front of Arkansas right now, and not the one like for Tennessee that you would almost feel like they're being spoiled in comparison to Arkansas because they're just trying to get like
– Okay, BK, spoil.
Yeah, but I do think that Ole Miss, it was an incredible job of the backup quarterback and the game plan they had involved. I'm not sold on Ole Miss. And it's not like – this isn't to be negative about them. It was a great game. It was like this is one of my favorite games of the year. It's a drunk SEC game that every year they get together, some chaos ensues. I think it was really impressive that Ole Miss had a backup quarterback go out there and score 41 points on Arkansas and win the game. I really think that's impressive. I have so many questions about Ole Miss. One, who's the quarterback moving forward? Is he gonna be Austin Simmons? Is he gonna still throw interceptions? Like, this schedule was supposed to be very manageable, and I'm looking at it now, and I'm like, I don't think they beat LSU. I don't think they beat Georgia. I don't think they beat Oklahoma. You could talk me into, depending on where South Carolina's at, Tulane, South Carolina, and Florida still being tough because Florida's defense at least is still very, very good. So I don't know, man. I'm not sold on Ole Miss, and I think that's my honest opinion. They beat Arkansas at home, and they went on the road and escaped the worst team in the conference, by far the worst team in the conference. And I think that's what the beefing is coming from because I don't think that Ole Miss is very good. And the cool thing to do now, instead of just being like, oh, that's your opinion, if it's different than yours, you just say it's rage bait and then make a podcast about it. And so you're welcome for the content, for one, and then two – just my act. The scary part
all
is
all those locked on people are sons of bitches, you know. including the one I'm talking to. You know what?
I don't think like the scary part for people is it's not me trying to. I say this over and over again. There's no part of me that enjoys people being mean to me on the internet. Like, I don't do stuff to rage bait people. Like, trust me, my skin is way too thin for that. Mm-hmm. So it's sadly just what I actually believe, which might be maybe way worse.
Mm. Well, hey, speaking of that, let's talk some LSU Florida and that debacle. But, you know, a natural transition, the hot rumor, and this is always a damn rumor, Lane Kiffin to Florida. Pete Nankos is actually reporting that's kind of their top target. Again, they haven't even fired damn Billy Napier. That could come any day now. But Kiffin, I mean, we do this every damn year, but he does make a lot of sense because I think at Florida, you want to talk spoiled. Hell, you can't bring in a Napier-type guy. You can't bring in a Muschamp guy. I mean, they just, like, refuse. It's got to be an exciting brand of football.
Yeah.
And Lane Kiffin is pretty damn exciting. Does that make any sense? Or, hell, I mean, you could argue Ole Miss is bending over backwards for him. I can't imagine Florida's, like, going to give him any more money than Ole Miss because Ole Miss giving him whatever he wants. Yeah. And the pressure is, like, to 11 at Florida, where at Ole Miss, I don't know that guy ever faces pressure.
Yeah, I will say real quick, I have to address something before I get into that, where this person said, it's sad when Marler has by far the best ball knowledge at Locked On. Yes, thank you for that comment, but we need to talk about your name because I'm so uncomfortable. Kristen is one of my best friends in the world, and I just feel so weird reading that compliment, and that is but it's also pretty creative and good for you. So here's the thing, and one, thank you for all the comments in the comments. It's actually really nice. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's kind of set at Ole Miss, but the only thing that would make me think he would leave is if Florida is going to somehow give him all of these resources. And everything that we know about what Florida has done, Billy Napier's bad. Like, he's not winning games. Like, I don't know if he ever got a fair shake because of the schedule and then what was left to him and then the expectations and all that kind of stuff. Like, he came in right at the start of the NIL transfer portal, all that shit, and then came into a time where it's like, hey, we got to get as much talent in here as possible, retain as much, and then we got to figure out how to keep – like, we're doing that when Tennessee is now peaking, Georgia is clearly peaking, the schedule's not getting any easier, some asshole made the schedule for me and decided to put 11 fucking conference games on there for every single – like, what are we doing here? So, I don't know if he ever got a fair shake. The thing with Florida is they've never been one to put a ton of resources into the program under Strickland. Like, they're starting to do some things. I think they got an indoor facility, which is cool, in 2007. So that's sick.
This comment. I don't really understand it. Zach says the brand value of Florida is worth more than Ole Miss. Who wouldn't want a more prestigious job even for the same money?
I'll answer. If I'm going to go to a place that has expectations that are reasonable, schedules that are reasonable, something that I've already built in place where I am like, hey, look, why would I leave when the bar is here and I'm the one that got us to that bar? Why would I leave to go coach at a program where the fans are unreasonable expectations abound? Why would I do that? Because you guys are so hung up on what Urban Meyer did 15 years ago. And I'm not trying to be a dick to Florida fans, but it's not like you guys have really had a bunch of home run hires, not just in football, but in any fucking sport. Like, you're lucky that Kevin, what's his name's there for baseball, because he's the only one on stable ground. I love what they did in basketball, but like, look everywhere else. Look everywhere else, and like how frustrating it's been in terms of the hires that you've had in place. Like, I don't know why you would want to leave because they have a fucking Jordan logo. You want him to leave Ole Miss and the job security there? That's ridiculous.
Here's a great question. Ole Miss, what would you say are the real threats? I think Bama's number one.
I don't think. Well, now that DeBoer's there, yeah. I mean, like, he was never going to be the guy after the guy. Mullen was good. That's also a really good point. Like, but I think that's also part of the frustration is that, like, dude, Dan Mullen came in at a time when you had a very unstable situation at Florida. Your last coach fucked a shark. That was weird for everyone involved. And listen, I can't even watch Shark Week anymore. I can't even do it. Okay? And I used to love the Discovery Channel. But, like, the whole thing where he comes in and he takes you to 10 wins his first year in a New Year's Six Bowl. I think it was 11 wins his second year in a New Year's Six Bowl. A New Year's Six Bowl in 2020. And the entire focus was not, oh my God, we made three straight New Year's Six Bowls. We were 6 points away from beating Alabama in the SEC Championship. It became, man, Todd Grantham's so bad that it cost us a national championship, which was not real. And like, then you look at the rest of like what happened after that. It's like, well, Mullen can't recruit. We got to get his ass out of here. And you forced him out of there. And now it's like, are you happier now? Like, I don't.
Hey, they won the Gasparilla Bowl.
They did.
Are they going to win any games remaining? I mean, thoughts on it? We talked a little bit of that LSU game, but not a ton. I mean, LSU's defense looks elite. Offense, don't ask Brian about it. But Florida, I mean, I don't know what to make of them. Again, they're in all these games.
Yeah,
we're running out of excuses. It's more about when, if not if, for old Billy Napier. But I, no one wants to hear this, Chris, but I think if, let's say he beats Miami, right? I think they're probably right where most reasonable people expected them, 2-2 after these first four.
Also true. Also,
I mean,
true.
I mean, if he flips one, he's not supposed to. Isn't he right back to where they thought he'd be?
If I'm on cocaine, I'm the fattest person on cocaine in the history of the world.
I can introduce you to some.
He's that?
I can introduce you to some biggies that do it.
Yeah, me and Cousin Shane just in the Cracker Barrel parking lot.
I was not talking about Shane.
So I think the thing with LSU, man, or sorry, with Florida, I think you're right. I think that they could be like if they go 2-2, yeah, you're right. Like that's what a lot of reasonable people would have thought going into this. I think they're going to get someone else. Like they are going to knock off somebody.
How about Texas? The way freaking Arch is playing is attainable. I feel like.
I don't disagree with that. Like, and there's, but I will also tell you this, what you need from Billy Napier, or I think, cause like, I don't know, maybe this doesn't make sense. I was going to say you need it to be definitive one way or the other. Like, remember last year we were like, okay, you don't need a close, like the worst thing that Florida could have is a close loss to somebody. I don't do cocaine. I want to be very clear about that, okay? At all. Anyway, I shouldn't.
I see it, though. I see it now. You do look like you sell it in the restroom or something.
Because of this damn shirt. I knew I shouldn't have worn this.
And the backwards hat. Yeah, just the whole vibe you got. And you got white powder on the table back there. I mean, it's kind of obvious.
What are you?
It is white.
All right, fine. We're just going to go. We'll just talk like this from now on. So I think like I used to say this all the time in so who started this? Crystal Methodist. Anyway, so I think the thing I always say this when you play poker, right? You don't want good cards in poker, you want easy decisions. And if you're a Florida fan or you're the administration, you don't want him going 7-5. You want him going 4-8. Or you want him going 8-4. Like, you don't want some middle of the road thing. Like, well, I don't know. We knocked off Texas and we barely lost to Georgia. And then we beat Tennessee, but we lost the rest of the games. Cause then it's like, what do you, now you're stuck in this weird limbo. And like, what do we, Chris, maintain Marler? Shane, that's coming from something that clearly, that's a deep cut Coke reference there. I feel like that's good. This is unbelievable. I'm so caught off guard right now.
I know I should have marked this 18 or up show only.
Yeah. Anyway,
mistakes were made.
I do think that they don't need good cards, man. They need easy decisions. And they just need to like either cut the cord now. And I tell you what, somebody said this in the press box on Saturday, and that was what do you call it? That the savior of the program is about to cost Billy Napier his job. And I don't think he's going to continue to like play like this. Like, I would assume he's not going to end up throwing, you know, five interceptions every game from here on out, but like he has not been great. And I think that like the biggest thing is he clearly has some things he still needs to grow and learn from like, from the position in the game itself. And I don't know if there's enough talent around him that's going to allow them to do that. So, or the other thing too is, Mike, maybe we're all overreacting. Maybe a really good South Florida team beat them, you know, at home. And maybe throwing five interceptions and still only losing by 10 on the road to LSU isn't as bad as we thought.
I mean, I'm seeing it. I'm seeing the picture, you know? I'm trying to talk people off the ledge. And this is coming from a guy that that bagged on Belly his entire career.
Yeah, that's what you have planned.
I don't think they're that far off. I think they should give him an extension. Speaking of a disappointment, though, was there a bigger disappointment in the SEC this weekend than the South Carolina Gamecocks losing 31-7? You know, I had confidence that Vanderbilt was going to win this football game. I didn't think they were going to dominate it. Now, in fairness, Sellers, you know, he missed half the game. But just in terms of, you know, what this means for the future of this season, Chris, where are you at? You know, if they flip it, they beat Missouri and Kentucky, I think they're fine. But the way the offense is playing, that seems very unlikely. They got to find a spark here. Are you hitting the panic button when it comes to South Carolina and specifically their offense right now?
Yeah, a little bit, to be honest. I think the big thing is, like, you have the best player. You have arguably the best player in the country on offense coming into the season is what we all thought. We saw how good he was a year ago. And now you're going into your fourth game and it's seemingly getting worse. Like we saw it, the bowl game last year when Shula called plays, he had 17 points. Then this year he had 17 points against Virginia Tech, 17 against SC State offensively, and then 7 against Vandy. I think Vandy's a really good football team. I really do. I think they do a lot of things that good football teams do. They make in-game and halftime adjustments from a coaching standpoint. They manage they dominate and they're really physical at the point of attack on both sides of offensive and defensive lines. I think the other lines, by the way, favorite part of the game. And then that was a good cocaine joke, Mike. The other thing, they hit a 51-yard field goal. They converted a 3rd-and-21. The thing that Vandy has done better than any other team in this conference in the last 2 years, if you watch Vandy play, tell me a time you've watched Vandy in their 2nd-and-12. Or like, it feels like every single drive is the same. 2nd-and-6, 3rd-and-2, 1st-down. Like they stay ahead of the chain so well. And then what they did to South Carolina, and I said this going into the game on my Locked On show, which was, dude, if you are sitting here and saying, like, what are the keys to victory? It's not just the turnover battle and that kind of stuff, which they clearly lost 4-1, but like, you have to stay ahead of the chains. And South Carolina has struggled to do that for every single year Beamer's been there, regardless of who the OC is. But there's at one point in the game where they were 1 of 7 on third down, and South Carolina, the average yards to go was 11.1 yards to go on third down. That's not a recipe for success against any team in the country, right? Like, I think there's a ton of concern here if you're South Carolina. Like, if Lower Sellers is injured and can't play against Mizzou, you will lose that game without a doubt. If he can play, I'm not super sold that they're going to win either way, because what we saw on Saturday was from top down, a complete breakdown and failure. Like Dylan Stewart getting ejected from the game, like Shane Beamer losing his mind, which I would have done the same thing, but like, just from a play calling standpoint, from like a penalty standpoint, from you couldn't stop the 3rd-and-22 when they finally were behind the chains. Like, it was just bad the whole 60 minutes.
Mm-hmm. And do we have any update on Sellers? I know Beamer met with the media yesterday. Anything come of that?
I was hoping we would. All I've heard today is about Mike Shula's anxiety. So yeah, welcome to 2025, Mike. Everyone has it, buddy.
Yeah. And hey, you said a lot about Vanderbilt. I think the biggest thing with Vanderbilt is, last season, I think they started to believe, but this year, I think they go into every game with the expectation of winning. Yeah. And I literally can't remember that any time in my life to where they have a belief that they can win these games. You think that's fair?
I do. And I think what they did on Saturday was not a fluke, and they were able to physically manhandle South Carolina. And again, South Carolina didn't lose that game. There's frustrations on there because Sellers leaves. There's frustrations from Carolina fans because on the next play, what the fuck? How did this become a thing? there's frustrations because what do you call it? Like they the next play, they hit Nick Harbor, I think, behind the defense, whatever it was. And you know, he's probably the fastest player in America and would have walked into the end zone. And then they blow the whistle because they were trying to figure out like if it was target on the previous play. Like, there's a lot of frustrations, I think, if you're South Carolina. That's not what lost you the game.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know who didn't lose, Chris? Are you feeling any better? Have they turned the corner? Are we back with Alabama?
Oh, man.
And specifically this man. I mean, this dude can't miss, Ty Simpson. He might be the damn most accurate passer in the SEC right now. Bo Prabula's up there too, believe it or not. But Ty Simpson's on just an incredible run here lately.
Dude, I like, I'm not going to, they're not going to be Georgia, surely. But I mean, at the same time, what a last couple of games for Ty Simpson. I think he has 5 total incompletions those 2 games. The most impressive thing you saw from Bama, I think, was, or the most thing to get you excited most, is Ryan Williams back, 100 yards, 100 yard game, and then also 2 touchdowns. Should have had a third, but of course he dropped another one. Ty Simpson looks incredible. He looks incredible. He I think he had 5 incompletions on the day. 2 of those were drops that were like right in the hands. He looks very, very much in control of the offense. Now, last time he had to leave Brian Denny, it was a different story. We'll see how that goes. And the defense, that's not a defense that is supposed to get a ton of sacks. It's just not the way, the style that they run, or schematically, like what they're trying to do. They did have 3 on Saturday, so I thought that was really, really good. The concern is, like, can you run the football? And right now, it's been unequivocally a no, that they cannot run the football. So, you know, I think you have to figure out some other ways to get some chunk yards against Georgia, and you're going to go into a hornet's nest because they are going to be very fired up.
Matt says he fully expects Sellers to play and give Mizzou all they can handle. He'll be there, M-I-Z, if Sellers gives them all he can.
I love that. That's fair.
Can South Carolina win this game?
Have you seen the line on the game?
Was it 6.5? Or I could be wrong.
I'll tell you about the line in a second. somebody told me it was 12.5, but maybe I just missed that. Maybe he was lying.
I think he was.
I can see that. He's a pretty big liar. So, I mean,
I'm literally looking it up right now. Unless it's, oh shit. Yeah. It's Missouri 13.5. But so I swear yeah. Last night. Yeah. It opened at 7. That would lead me to believe people do not think Sellers plays.
No, or they just doubting the dogs. I mean, doubting Carolina. I mean, you know what I'm saying, brother.
You idiot. How about Auburn? Shout out J.D. Courtney Miller. Mike, you think Auburn makes a bowl game? I'll tell you what, brother. If they lose to Oklahoma, I'm not sure they do. Is that crazy?
Yes, that's insane. That's insane.
Well, couldn't you see him going, losing to Oklahoma, losing to A&M, both those on the road, losing to Georgia. Missouri's red hot. I mean, they can't beat Diego Pavia. I mean, if they don't beat Arkansas, they're cooked. They're not making a bowl. Right?
Yeah, Mercer and Kentucky, those are 2 wins.
So that's 5.
Yeah, I mean, like,
so where's number 6?
I don't know. I tell you what, as much, I guess maybe it's not as far-fetched as I thought.
I think they will, right? But I'm saying this is Hugh Freeze. Things can go sideways on that man in a damn hurry. In 3 weeks, I haven't forgotten how bad of a coach he is. Have you?
So I think what's most of the biggest concern here for Auburn is, hold on, my work has texted me that I'm trying to do something at the same time. So just know that you don't matter to me at all, Mike. no, I think the biggest concern for Auburn is like, did they, that was the joke I made, Russ. So they clearly know, like, that they, what they have offensively. They haven't had a ton of success in the explosive passing game, right? Like, they're last in plays over 10 yards, 20 yards, and 30 yards in the passing game in the SEC. They've also been able to move the ball very, very effectively. I South Alabama, you know, they played Tulane pretty close, I think, right? Like, was it Tulane? So maybe it's not as bad. Auburn's Auburn's defensive line has gotten a ton of sacks so far this season. I think they got like 11 in 3 games. Mm-hmm. That fucking secondary is an absolute liability. Like the secondary is an absolute liability. And I'm just not convinced that once they get to games like they have against Georgia, I think they're going to be able to play well in those games. But Georgia, A&M, Oklahoma, that's not Baylor. That's not Baylor. And so I think you're right. I think there's no chance that they win – I don't think they win 2 of those games.
Which ones are you referencing now?
In the next 3. A&M, Oklahoma, and UGA. Now, like, I'm completely off base, and Jackson. I think Jackson Arnold's been really good. But I think at some point, like, with all the talent they have and all the talent they went out and bought in the portal and with Cam Coleman at receiver, like, they should be able to score more points than they're currently scoring. And they really, that secondary, like I cannot stress enough, is a massive liability. I said in the first week of the season when they were playing Baylor, I was like, Ty Simpson might throw for 800 yards in this team. And then Bama lost to Florida State, who's clearly better than Auburn. And people were like, oh, yeah, good call, dumbass. And that's I think the secondary is just very bad so far.
So which game are you most fired up about this weekend? Because I know you're a cock. We got to put it out there. College game days, Florida, Miami. We got South Carolina at Mizzou. But to me, you know, it's up to you. I'm asking you here, but I love Auburn at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
But how would you kind of rank those games, or would you maybe put up a different? I really don't think Tulane's going to beat Ole Miss, but stranger things have happened. And hell, Arkansas, Memphis is only, it opened as Arkansas is a 4-point favorite. It's up to 7.5. But what's your favorite games this weekend?
Well, anything in Miami, I do love Miami. I love Miami. I love going to Miami a lot. A lot of fun stuff to get into in Miami. Love to see what's on there in Miami. No, I think like go back to the slate again. I mean the one I'm probably most excited about is South Carolina Mizzou. I think that's gonna be a good one. Just for like personal standpoint and having to watch it. That Auburn Oklahoma game is gonna be interesting for so many reasons that have nothing to do with Jackson Arnold. Like just nothing to do with Jackson Arnold. Those are two teams that are I think that Oklahoma is good. I really do. But they haven't had to play like the most difficult schedule. They went to Temple. The defense looks really good, but also the biggest game is against Michigan. That's a true freshman quarterback on the road. Like I'm not discounting what they've done necessarily, or trying to discount them at least.
You just did.
I did. But I think Mateer is legit. I think that he can put up a ton of points against this Auburn team. I'm most interested to see what Auburn's offense does against Oklahoma's defense. Cause like, that's the thing. I wonder if Mateer can go for 350 a game and three touchdowns, like they can compete with almost anybody. But if the defense is, you know, like a little bit of a shell of what we think it is right now, and it gets proven to be, then I think I'd be a little bit more concerned.
Hey, Cousin Shane commented from the golf course. Update, breaking news here.
Birdie?
Hole in one. First time in his life. Thoughts, no reaction. Way. You don't believe him?
There's no way. What was his name?
Yeah, that's a clip right there. Hey, what thoughts on I know you do power rankings too. Which is most egregious? This is my SEC power rankings 1 through 16. What's most egregious in your opinion?
Mainly the design and layout itself, but also
hell yeah,
bro. Most egregious, we have Texas in the same spot. You know what? I'll say Vandy is too low. I think Vandy is too low. I don't disagree with Tennessee. There's some questions on the defense, I think, maybe. But, again, they're also not fully healthy, so I could see the argument against that. I love what you have with Missouri here. A&M's got some questions on defense too, by the way.
Right.
Which is surprising with Clark Lee. I'll say the one thing. I think Vandy's too low. I think Vandy's too low, and that would be probably the only one. Love that you finally that you're doing the right thing and the noble thing with the Texas situation, because they don't deserve to be that high. And then I go back to the LSU thing. I like LSU, and that team, the special teams look great so far, which I think is important. Defense, they have a defense. I think they can get them into into a championship game. Like, that's a team that can win them a championship or get them to a championship. That's good, Ethan. But also, I think they have an offense as of right now that could keep them out of one. And that's just very surprising to me. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, here's my commentary on the power rankings. 1 through 12,
mm-hmm.
at this point in time, is kind of interchangeable. Like, Georgia and Ole Miss play. You tell me Ole Miss wins. I'm not picking it, but that wouldn't stun me. Texas beats Oklahoma. Again, I'm not picking it.
Right.
But it wouldn't stun me. Basically, the point being, I think the SEC is as muddled as I can recall after a couple weeks into the season.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think college football in general, it's like, I don't think we know who's good yet. I don't think we know who's good yet. So it's like we've all had some overreactions, I think, to the eight people. I'm about to, actually, shameless plug, I'm about to post a article that I wrote today just going off about the AP polling and stuff like that. We've all been kind of frustrated with that. But I mean, I don't know if we know who's good yet. It's been weird. And I don't disagree. I don't think Ole Miss would beat Georgia. I don't think that. They're going to play later this year, so I think we'll see that. But I do think that, like, the biggest thing I keep coming back to with the strength of the SEC is I do think Arkansas is a good team. I cannot figure out how to get them above 13 in the rankings based on what's happened on the field so far. And that's – maybe I'm just way wrong about that, but I feel like that's kind of the depth of the league this year, and I feel like it's for real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then I also know you do quarterback power rankings.
One was this week yet. Have you done yours?
No, but I'm just who are the top couple? Not you don't even have to put them in the exact ranking, but the best quarterbacks. You know, if you had to group a couple that you're debating at the top.
Yeah, I would probably put Taylen Green at the top. Still have him there for a second straight week. I would probably
Arch.
That's bad, dude. I would
isn't
have,
it bad that that's like a joke? You know, I think he'll rebound. I think he'll be fine, but that's he's a problem. He's a problem right now.
Well, but I just want to know what people saw or what they thought was going to happen. Like, even in high school, it wasn't like he played anyone worth a shit in high school. So it's like,
right. But here's the deal. I wasn't Feinbaum. I wasn't saying he's God's gift of football. I put him around, like, I think I put him fifth or sixth in the SEC, right?
Right.
That was based on talking to people that cover that team.
Oh, no.
And saying, my God, this guy's generational. He's better than what they're saying. That's what they were saying behind the scenes.
Okay, so I'm just going to say this. I'm sure there's people in the Texas media that do a really good job. I've never seen a group of people in media that cover a team that are as big of fanboys as Texas is. It's so fucking weird. They are God's gift to football. Arch is God's gift to football. And it was like
the next Bama.
Which Bama? The pre-Saban Bama? Sure. Like maybe. I mean, like they also won the same amount of championships. But I mean, my God, like it's crazy to me that they went so far out of the way. Like, and listen, if he was starting on last year's team, I think you could make that case. But he didn't start over Quinn Ewers, and maybe he shouldn't have. Like, I don't know. But he looks like he's injured, for one. And it doesn't take me showing Steve Sarkisian my poop face for anyone to see that, which is the weirdest comment that anyone's made this year. He throws the deep ball well, but, like, who are catching passes for him this year? Like, it's not the same group that you had a year ago. You lost so much Michigan and Texas came into the last couple of seasons, and they finally turned the corner at like a very high level. Michigan won a national championship. Texas came close to getting to the national championship, and they finally like kind of busted through the ceiling that was above them for however long for each of those programs. And then it took them so long to get there. Each of them lost like 20-something players to the NFL draft in the next two drafts. Each of them lost like generational talent at specific spots, including quarterback. And then they all just were like, yeah, we're going to repeat this every year. No, like, no. And at the very least, it would have been okay if you were like, yeah, we'll see. It is that entire fucking fan base and media group is so bizarre to me because they are, it's so blatantly biased towards this one team. And like, I don't know if they'll ever even see it. It's just so weird to me.
Mm.
No,
well, you know, one guy you didn't reference there. And why would you? Because you were bashing Texas. But has there been a quarterback that has exceeded your expectations? I know it's early in the season, more than Bo Prabula, who, in fairness, I didn't know what the hell he was or where to rank him. But I had him top three last week in the quarterback power rankings. I think he's been a godsend.
Yeah, I think that's fair. He's been awesome, and I think it's the opposite of what we've seen. Missouri is the opposite of Kentucky in terms of, like, transfer quarterbacks don't go there to die. Like Kentucky just continues to do the opposite of developing any guys that they bring in at that position. Bo Prabula's been awesome. And I tell you what everyone should have been way more vocal about, and you and Cousin Shane, that you guys were great about it. I was really big on it in the preseason, but like this offense has had a top four player, like a rushing leader in the SEC in each of the last 4 or 5 years that Eli Drinkwitz has been there. Right. Mm-hmm. Like that's one of the things they have done best. And they have always had a guy that, like, whether it's Roundtree, whether it's Schroeder, whatever his name was, whether it's, the kid who even led the SEC a couple years back. Why am I drawing a blank on his name? Like they have had guys that go run the football and run it, like, very, very well and put up a lot of production there. You brought in Ahmad Hardy, who had 1,400 yards a year ago, and you brought in the returning leader in receptions in the SEC and Kevin Coleman. The idea that no one wanted to talk about that. Like, no one wanted to talk about that as, like, two guys that could be a huge, huge immediate impact from the portal in the SEC. I don't get – yeah, Tyler Beatty, thank you. That's crazy to me. And I think that it's awesome to see Mizzou get any respect because I will always be in their corner. I don't understand why they don't get more respect. It's still a long way to go, and that second half of the season where they don't play every game at home is going to be interesting. But, like, yeah, man, Perbula has been awesome. It's 76.4% completion percentage, leads the SEC.
What? Yeah. It's pretty damn good. All right. Any other teams we haven't really hit on? I think the only other one.
Notre Dame.
How about, are you impressed with State? I mean, again, last week, who cares? But can they keep this thing rolling? And, hey, maybe just based on what you've seen thus far, can they win a conference game or two? What's your thoughts on that?
Somebody.
I mean, again, it's still a damn gauntlet. You know what I mean?
Somebody said, where's the love for Aguilar? Which is true. That man's going to play his way into a fifth-round draft pick. And I don't know why the second part of that's so funny to me, but it is. Aguilar deserves a ton of credit, man. Like, I'm so happy to see that kid go in there.
Oh, you're right. That was the I thought you were mocking hit the fifth round, but that was actually the comment.
Well, but I didn't know if he was – oh, you thought I was making the joke?
Yes.
Well, thank you. It was a really funny joke. but no, Aguilar's been great, man. He's been great. And
here's – now, again, can I take the other side?
Sure.
Because I'm the Tennessee graduate, right? It was working against Georgia. He got away with it against ETSU. I like what he's doing because he's opening the offense, right?
Right.
But if he gets super duper careless with the football, that's going to lose you on Arkansas. That's going to lose you on Vanderbilt. That's going to lose you on Florida, perhaps. I think he's walking a tightrope there.
Yeah.
I mean, is that fair?
I think so, but it's game three, man. It's game three. He just went up against the best defensive mind in the country in game three. Mm-hmm. And they dogged walk Syracuse. They dogged walk East Tennessee State. I mean, the narrative on this kid is much different if they just make a field goal on Saturday.
Yeah.
And that is frustrating, but it's also very true. Yeah, the turnovers, sure. Like I think that's kind of something that's followed him a little bit in the last 2 years anyway, right? Mm-hmm. I think has he had double digits in each of the past two seasons at App State?
I think he had 24 the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Is the number.
That part I get, but I also say this offense, it's not like he came in as like a freshman and has been like biting his, you know, waiting for his time to shine or anything like that. Like, this is a guy that came in at the very last minute, basically had a trade with UCLA.
Right.
And I think that as the season goes on, I think he's only going to get better. I'll say that.
How funny do you find it? I don't follow UCLA at all, but I get every damn update because of what happened there.
Okay, so yes, I get why Tennessee fans think it's so funny. I really do. I'm not talking shit about that. As much as we joke, I'll be serious for a second. As someone that had one of those overbearing sports dads that was like way too much to deal with and like was way too involved. Dude, I got kicked off of every single all-star team I ever made. I will never forget this when I was getting recruited my junior and senior year of high school. I mean, I had like handwritten Christmas cards from like Vandy and Bama and Clemson and like all these things. And like one of my visits and my coach pulled me aside and he goes, you remind me so much of Jeff Kepinger. And I was like, Jeff Kepinger, the second baseman for the White Sox right now, the former second round pick. Thank you. And he's like, because your home life is terrible. And I was like, cool, could have led with that. Probably should have opened with that. It's like, I feel so bad. I say all that to say I feel so bad for Nico because I think his dad had way more to do with this than he did. And I could be wrong about that. And so maybe I'm putting too much blame on it. Maybe it's my own shit. And I'll talk about that with Dr. Rocky on Monday for my next therapy session. But I mean, like, It does frustrate me because it feels like his dad tried to strong arm a program into being greedy, and it didn't just backfire. Like, you might have fucked with this kid's entire career. I mean, like, and that's so frustrating to see. But I also, yeah, man, it's pretty hilarious. It's pretty hilarious.
And I mean, it goes, nobody mentions it, but it probably screwed his little brother too, who'd be getting coached up by Bobby Petrino right now, who just turned Talen Green into what we said. Now, is he Talen Green? Probably not, but he's helped turn Talen Green into arguably the best quarterback in the conference, you know?
Yeah, somebody said I could have made the league if it wasn't for the sniffy juice. So.
Cousin Matt put it best. It feels good when your ex isn't better off after you. So yeah, maybe, yeah, that's what I it is. You know what?
Not, but yeah, I get that. I get that sentiment.
All right, Chris, really appreciate your time. You got anything cooking this week? Where can the cousins go check you out and check out all your content?
Yeah, this is so much more fun than it used to be. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's because people like me more now, or I'm doing something different. I don't know. I've had so much fun doing the show. So I'll be back, obviously, next Monday, like we are every week. Vern_Fundquist on Twitter, LouisianaSports.net for all the latest content like that. And I'll post it to my personal social and that kind of stuff as well. And then, we have our Fourth and Wrong podcast on Wednesdays as well.
Nice. Busy man, funny man. I hope you kick your habits. That's all I'll say.
Let's not make this a thing next week, okay? I don't know why. I'll talk to you.
Is it easy to find in Louisiana? Final question.
I don't know.
Let's cut some lines out, Marler, says Tank.
Oh,
all right, man. Perfect place to end it. We'll catch you next week. Thank you, Marler. You're the best.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.